I never can tell you how glad and thankful I am to be here. I was just thinking during this service upon so many of you that I've known for so long, and how the years have been truly sweeter and sweeter. How many of you here that I knew when I was in Franklin, Louisiana, Jan, Gary, and Bob, Becca? How many of you that the Lord has just truly blessed me to know? And I pray this morning that truly the Lord would bless us. I learned something today about the difference in a Bible study and preaching. I did, Gary. That was so good. Let's take our Bibles and turn back with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to deal with verse 9. Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know this. The Scripture declares this, that every person that's born into this world is born lost in trespasses and sins. Scripture declares, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know this concerning the penalty for our sins. The Scripture says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Lord has graciously revealed to us a blessed truth concerning a people that Almighty God has everlastingly loved in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Father did for His people to His Son, the precious Lamb of God. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in Him. Christ Jesus, according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, the Scripture declares, came into this world to save His people from their sins. And He finished the work that was given Him by the Father. He lived for and died for His sheep, and they shall forever be with Him. That's just too high for me to perceive, but I know that it's so. And concerning those for whom He died, the Spirit of God has set forth this glorious truth concerning the sheep, the elect. Now listen to this glorious promise of God concerning forgiveness. Now listen to this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. souls made alive in Christ know that they are sinners. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And souls regenerated by the grace of God speak of themselves in that light according to God's word. They say, as David said in Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. They know that concerning themselves in the presence of sin, just as Paul the Apostle wrote, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that is in my members. They experience, they know that the force, somewhat of the force of that inbred corruption that is within, it's a law. Paul says, I see a law in my members. And concerning that law, that nature of sin, of the flesh, it demands obedience. That law of sin demands obedience. It's a law that is absolutely opposite of the law of God, in which a believer delights, the law of his mind, his new man. But it's that old man, that law of sin, it demands dominance. And the only reason it's not successful is because the Lord has declared, sin shall not have dominion over you. It demands it. But we're kept by the power of God through faith. But we struggle all the way. There's two natures there. And two natures that they oppose one another. So here's the promise. To those made alive in Christ, listen, those who continually confess and they behold the presence of sin and they grieve over its presence. Now listen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll confess our sins. And where it's saying confess, I looked this up to make sure I was right on this. If we confess, it's not merely confess, well, I'm a sinner. But that word confess, it means assent, covenant, or acknowledge. If we confess that the depth, the, you know, Vines says this. If you're familiar with Vines' concordance, this is what Vines said on that word, confess. Admitting or declaring oneself guilty of what one is accused. Thayer's says this, confession of the committed offense. If we confess all of which we've been accused, all of which we're guilty, if we'll confess our sins, will you say how many of them? All of them. If we confess our sins, the totality of them, if we confess our sins from a right heart, a heart of truly brokenness, and confess the depth of them, Listen, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has promised that. And he abides by his promise to justly not demand the penalty for disobedience, but rather let it go. If we confess the depth, if we confess what we have done, all of it, I want to make sure that we all understand what he's saying. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, here's my second point. Here's my problem. I don't know what I've done. I know what the Scripture says concerning forgiveness. If we confess that for which we are guilty. Listen to this. Psalm 73:22. David says, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee." Isaiah 59:8. "The way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings." No discernment. No. Jeremiah 5:4, "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of our God." Amos 3:10, "For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their places." Romans 10:3, "For they," that is the Jews, Paul speaking of, "being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Isaiah 1:5-6, "The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Someone will say, "Yeah, but every one of the verses that you just read was dealing with people that refer to men before they were converted." Right. But let me ask you this. Since you were converted, have you perceived the depth or the height or the breadth of our daily transgressions? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not." Now you can look in your margin. I know most of you's got a Bible like I do, and it says no. "That which I do, I know not." Let me just kind of elaborate a little bit on that word no. It's I do not understand my own actions. I do not perceive. I'm not aware of my actions. I am baffled. I am bewildered. It has not been unfolded to my perception. Paul said, "That which I do, I don't perceive. I don't understand. I am bewildered by what I do." So according to the Scriptures, man is totally ignorant before and even enlightened in regenerating grace after conversion as to the depth of his rebellion. not only the sins of commission, but omission. The deed I did in my rebellion and what I failed to do. I don't know. I don't understand the depth of what I do, and I don't understand the depth of what I don't do. I was talking to Gabe about this thing of ignorance, and he shared with me an incident that had happened to him. I guess you told him you was pulled over. Okay. He didn't tell you he was. And Glenda and I were driving through a little town here a few years ago. And I remember, I've learned a little bit about when you're going through a smaller town, obey the speed limit, especially then. Be aware. Listen, I'm bad about talking and not paying attention to some things. But I remember it was around 30 or 35 miles an hour, Luke. I went into this little town, and that's slow driving. And I'm just talking to Glenda, and all of a sudden, I saw a sign that went back and it says, end school zone. I thought, end school zone? Well, that... And I don't think it was 30 or 35 going through that... I didn't get stopped. All of a sudden, I thought, I didn't even know I was in a school zone. But I was still guilty. Had I been pulled over, I was guilty. I could plead ignorance, but it wouldn't have made any difference. So here's what I know. If we confess our sins, and I'm not talking about the ones I thought of. There's some that I think of, but the ones I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't realize the spirit in which I'm doing them. I catch myself a lot. I catch myself with a bad spirit a lot. But I don't know the half of it. But if that is the basis of my hope of forgiveness, and here I am, I'm ignorant of what I've done, then I've got a problem concerning forgiveness. But here's my last point. There is the prayer of confession that is accepted of God on my behalf concerning my forgiveness. Now, if we consider the promise of the Lord concerning our need, I'm telling you, looking to ourselves, having any confidence whatsoever in ourselves, is no confidence whatsoever. Gabe, you just quoted a passage of Scripture when our Lord was hanging on the cross, and there was a group that was out there mingled in with everybody else. And obviously there were some of God's elect in that group that as of yet had not been called out of darkness, because when the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Luke 23:34. I know for whom he was praying. I know who he was interceding for right there. He was interceding for his sheep, because he said in John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And then he said in verse 9, he said, I pray, I ask, I request, I entreat, I beg, I beseech for them. I pray for them, for their benefit, for their advantage. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou gavest me out of the world, for they are thine. So here he was praying, Father, forgive them. And what do you think was the probability of them being forgiven, called out of darkness? 100%. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, the blessed wonder of Him who everlastingly loved us and stood as our surety, lived, died for us, that He prays for us. Prays for these people, ever liveth to make intercession for His sheep who don't know what to pray, who don't know what they've done. Hold your place there and turn to Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Listen to what the Spirit of God has moved upon the Apostle Paul to set forth concerning prayer. Prayer. If we confess our sins, which we don't know what we've done, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. But when it comes to prayer, intercessory prayer, Romans 8:26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts," this is God Almighty Himself, "He who searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit," God Himself, "because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, here's an amazing thing concerning prayer. The Scripture reveals that we know somewhat of what we are, but we don't know the depth. We don't know what we've done. We have no perception of what we've done. But the Spirit of God, when a believer is said to pray, and we do, the Lord says, when you pray, you enter into your closet, and the Spirit of God lays hold, and in the bearing of our trials, He comes to our aid. And in our weakness, He moves upon God's people. The Scripture declares with groanings that we can't even utter. There's something that happens when a believer prays. Do they pray? Yes, they do. They really do pray. Do they know what to pray? No. We don't know what to pray. Do they want to pray? Yes. They want to. They want to speak unto the Father. They want to. But they don't know what to ask. I don't know the Spirit, but there's an amazing thing that happens inside a believer. There are groanings that can't be uttered. I truly wish I knew what to say, what to ask. But the Spirit of God intercedes according to God's will, pleads our case in a marvelous work within us. There's something happens that a believer cannot, I don't know how to say. I don't know what to say. Do I truly desire that the Lord guide me? Do I want to pray for my kids? Do I truly desire that God bless this congregation? I want that, but there's a heart. I have a heart that the Spirit of God has given me. Scripture says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after you." But I don't know how to say. I don't know what to say. I want to. I truly want to. I want to. when you pray to the Father. You pray unto the Father. And I'm so weak. I don't know anything about prayer. I don't. But the Spirit of God puts a desire in the heart of a believer that truly wants to. And then an amazing thing is said to happen. And I'm so far over my head here. I'm like a child that's trying to babble something here that I don't even know how to say it. But the Spirit of God does something. But then, turn over to Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. An amazing thing is set forth concerning our great high priest. Revelation 8, 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. These prayers that we don't know what to pray, but a desire, an unction, a heart truly that wants to pray. Those prayers are taken according to this scripture. I know that it's the prayers of the saints that pray. And the scripture declares that the great high priest takes that which the Spirit of God moved upon a believer to pray, and they didn't even know what to pray. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to say it. I mean, truly, without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. I don't even know what to say. But he takes that which we don't know what to say, that has been made unto them groanings that cannot be uttered. And the Spirit of God has revealed that the great high priest takes that which we don't even understand and desire to say. And he offers it in the incense of his worthiness. And he takes and stands as our great high priest before the altar of incense. That was that altar that was before the veil in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that altar that symbolizes and sets forth the intercessory office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he presents in his own merit that which the Spirit of God, who always intercedes according to the will of God, and I don't even know what it is. And he intercedes for us, and that prayer is taken by the Lord Jesus Christ and presented before the throne. And in his merit, in the merit of the obedient servant, who honored and glorified and satisfied God Almighty in his life and death, those prayers are offered before the Father and are heard and are accepted in his merit. And he perfumes heaven as he offers up the prayers of his people before the throne in the savor of his worthiness and his honor and his shed blood. And here we, as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, sinners saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, those to whom or of whom it is said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh and after the dictates of the flesh, but after the Spirit. These prayers are accepted, and they're perfect. And there is an absolute, complete confession of all of our sins, all of them. And we didn't even know what they were. I don't even know what they are. But the Spirit of God, who moves upon all of us who are just absolutely spiritual Mephibosheths, and we all know it, helpless, spiritually lame on both our feet, vessels of God's mercy, and for the sake of Christ, he loved us and gave himself for us. We who can do without him nothing, always able now to sit at the table of the King like we're doing this morning, to feast upon him who is our heavenly bread, always needing to have our feet washed, as the Lord graciously demonstrated that when he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter said, Lord, you can't be washing my wash. He said, no, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. You're clean every whit. You just need to have daily. I need my sins confessed. I don't know what they are, but he washes, cleanses us in our blood. This was beautifully set forth as I close Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. On the Day of Atonement. This Leviticus 16:21. This is the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16:21. And Aaron, here's the high priest. And right here, here's beautiful. You know, Aaron was a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he's a picture of the Father. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. It was two goats. Live goat that was the scapegoat. And then the goat of the Lord that was slain. But here's the live goat. Now here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, and putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into a wilderness. Under the law, the high priest, Aaron, would take his hands and make confession. Here's the beautiful part. Listen to this. All the iniquities, all of their sins, all of their transgressions. How many is included in all? All. Truly being made sin, he bore all of them. All of them, you mean those for which I'm not even aware? All of them. All of them. Confession of sin. If we confess our sins, the Spirit of God causes us to, by faith, lay hold of Him, our great high priest, beseeching Him, Lord, pray for me. Pray for me and confess the sins of which I'm not even aware. I'm so sorry. I don't know. I'm just an ignorant child in need of your intercession because I don't know what to ask for. And since He's borne all of them, He knows all of them, and He confesses all of them, they're all forgiven. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for this ignorant sinner who is in need of having all of his sins forgiven. Last verse. I want us to read a passage of Scripture. I'm going to just read a few verses out of this chapter. And without doubt, you go ahead and turn to Psalm 51. These are the words of a broken-hearted sinner. His name was David. Just like all of us, made aware somewhat of his guilt. One that's truly confessing what he is. But in light of Revelation 8:3, talking about that angel, that is the great angel of the covenant himself, the Lord Jesus, taking the prayers of the saints and presenting them in his own merit. Those prayers that were born in the heart of a believer by the intercession of the Spirit of God that gave us a heart to pray. We still didn't know what to pray, but He did. He did. These are truly the words of David, but I want you to think about these words being the words of our great high priest, taking what David in himself could never perceive. Listen to these words as the great high priest prays them. He who bore our sin, and they were made to be his own. Psalm 40. These are the prayers. This is the prayer of the great high priest now who is bearing the guilt of his people. And here's what he says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Verse 7 to 9. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. He who knows all and has died for all the sins of his people and confesses all of their transgressions before the Father, having borne them and answered for them, and now he confesses them all of them, and they're all forgiven for his sake.